United States Steel Corporation, 500,000 employees and stockholders, presents the Theater Guild on the air. United States Steel presents the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, bringing into your home every Sunday evening from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater in New York the most famous plays of Broadway. Tonight we bring you Three Men on a Horse by John Cecil Holmes and George Abbott, starring Stuart Irwin, who plays Irwin, the greeting card writer, Pam Levine, who plays Patsy, and Shirley Booth, his girlfriend, Nikki. And here is Lawrence Langner, co-director with Teresa Halpern of the Theater Guild, to tell you something about the play and the players. Mr. Langner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As part of our program for giving you a cross-section of the Broadway theater, we've selected a famous farce for you tonight, and we've cast in it three of our favorite actors. Stuart Irwin, whose name is also Irwin in the play, Sam Levine and Shirley Booth, both of whom were featured in the original production staged by George Abbott. This is the story of a little man whose business in life was writing verses for greeting cards. Like all poets, he was a dreamer, too, and his dreaming took the form of horse racing. He loved to bet, but only in his imagination. He'd sort of dream up the winners. It's when his poetry and his horse racing meet that his troubles begin, and our play revolves around that situation. But just a moment. Here is Sam Levine, who played Patsy in the original cast and in the picture, and also to over 1 million GIs in Europe. So we'll let him tell it. All right, Patsy, go ahead.
Boy, have I got a story, and I'll tell it to you. And you'll see what I mean when I say life is peculiar. It ain't even peculiar. It's worse. I'm standing in front of you, a man that could have been a millionaire, but multi. Well, what's the difference? Rich. I don't mean from stealing. I mean from straight honest labor, from betting on the horses. Well, to make a long story short, me and my buddies, Frankie and Charlie, and my girl, Mabel, we go down to the Jamaica track one day with our last 40 bucks. 5 minutes later, we got 10 bucks left. We're standing in front of a parallel neutral window with the 10 spot between us. The last race begins in a couple of minutes. We look at each other. Little Frankie, Big Charlie, and Mabel, and me.
Hey, Patsy, listen to me. Big Sneak looks awful good to me.
But Charlie, but Frankie, if we lose this 10 spot, we ain't got no supper tonight.
That's right, Patsy, darling. Don't bet anymore. All I got left is 2 cans of chicken a la king in my room.
What's wrong with chicken a la king?
What's wrong? I'm beginning to cackle, that's all.
Save the chicken a la king. We may have to trade in for tomorrow's racing form.
What'll we do with 10 bucks, Patsy? We ain't in business with 10 bucks. You might as well put it on something.
Sure. We got the train tickets home. Big Sneeze looks awful good to me, Patsy.
What do you say, Mabel, later on?
All right, but don't ask me to hock my dresses again.
Hey, if worse comes to worse, Patsy can hock his solid gold belt buckle.
Again, my buckle. Every time a horse looks good to him, I walk around holding up my pants.
Hey, the windows are closing.
Lay on Big Sneeze, Patsy. Hurry up. Big Sneeze.
Big Sneeze, Big Sneeze. Okay, okay. Hey, say, I suddenly got the same feeling as you, Frankie. 10 bucks on Big Sneeze. On the nose. The upshot is, the next morning I go across the street from the hotel, and when I come back, I'm holding up my pants. So what I'm getting at is this, to show you how really life peculiar is. At the very minute that I am returning from the hock shop, a man named Irwin, who lives in Ozone Heights, is getting ready to leave for his office. Now, at the time, I never even heard of no fella in Ozone Heights named Irwin. But now I know that he's a very nice fella. 40 bucks a week, a vacuum cleaner, a lawnmower, and a six-room house. You know, that type of fella. The kind of a house exactly like every other house on the block. You know, the kind of a block where everybody's got a dog so at night they can find which house is theirs. This morning, the sun was shining, the way it does in the subways. Irwin comes into the living room looking for his hat, and he sees his wife. She is crying. She is crying, and unbeknownst to me, that is, without me knowing it, my life begins to gradually turn upside down, inside out.
What's the matter, dear? Is something in your eye?
I'll be all right, Irwin.
Oh, what's the matter, Audrey? And can't you tell me? I'm late for work.
You were going to stay home from the office one day this week.
Yeah, but not today, sweetie. How in heaven's name am I going to turn out 67 Mother's Day greetings, and they just have to be in today?
You could write them in the country.
You know I've never been able to write in the country. The birds and the butterflies distract me.
Well, there, when you say...
Hey, wait. Wait, how's this? The birds and the butterflies send you a greeting. It's spring, and today in memory we're meeting. Mother's Day number 11. I'll call that to Mother on Mother's Day. Oh, what's the matter with you, Audrey?
Irwin, you don't love me anymore.
Why? What's happened?
I'm going to wait till my brother gets here. I just phoned for him to come over.
Then I'm getting out. Every time you get mad at me, you call your brother. Why do you do that, Audrey?
He understands things. He's a businessman, not a poet.
Businessman. Look out the window, those 46 houses. It took a world war to get people to buy them. My greeting card verses are read from Asbury Park to Seattle. War or peace? Gee, Clarence. I wish you'd ring before you come into my house.
I built this house.
But I bought it.
At that price, it was a gift. What's the matter, sis? You look all upset. Has he been doing anything to you?
Oh, Clarence. I sent Irwin Stu to the cleaners this morning.
You needn't say more, sis. Irwin, your cleaning bills are entirely too high, and I insist...
No, I mean I found this little notebook in the inside pocket.
Oh, that.
Clarence, look at these names. Shirley May, Lena Lee, Nellie Squeeze.
Irwin.
But listen...
Not one or two, Clarence, but pages of them. Look at these phone numbers. Jamaica 6, 6231.
But, darling,
what is this, a harem?
It's no harem. It's only a hobby.
Only a hobby?
They're all horses, dear.
Horses?
Yes.
What do you do, call them up when you're lonely?
No. Oh, I just dope them out.
Well, that's a new word for it. But you happen to be married to my sister.
Now, listen to me. One day I came across the racing paper on the bus, and I found out that the fellow who doped them out wasn't so good. So the next day I did it for fun, and I've been keeping track of them in that book. Just to pass the time, like some people do crosswords.
Crosswords do not have telephone numbers.
Oh, Irwin.
They're not telephone numbers, sweetheart. See, Jamaica 6, that's the sixth race of Jamaica. And then 6231, well, that's the order I thought the horses would finish. On this other page is the way they actually did finish.
You mean you guessed all of them right?
Sure, Clarence. Oh, once in a while I miss, but usually
what's this number? 896.50.
That's what I made the week of January 20th. $896.50.
Huh? You made that much and never told me?
Oh, I never bet on a horse, sweetie. This is all on paper, like a game.
Irwin, you've been winning money since January, and nobody but you knows about these secret bank accounts.
I have one bank account.
Suppose you die, a bus crash, a horse kicking you.
Horses don't kick me.
Think of Audrey. Where are you keeping this money?
In Audrey's pocket. And I don't want you telling me what to do anymore either, Clarence.
Sure. What do you care if my sister walks around without a rag on her back?
She's got plenty of rags on her back.
Listen how proudly he says it. Well, his wife walks around in rags. And
oh, shut up.
Irwin.
Where's my hat? I'm getting out of here.
Betting is immoral, Irwin. Especially secret betting. You'd think you'd give me a little tip sometime so I could make a few dollars after I practically gave this house.
You didn't give me this house, and there's always water in the cellar.
Irwin, you'll hurt Clarence's feelings.
And the water in the cellar ruined my whole fishing outfit, and now I won't be able to go fishing this year.
Where are you going, Irwin?
To the office to make money to buy more of those $14.98 rags for your back.
No, Irwin, I want you to spend everything for a new fishing outfit.
He's got enough socks away to buy a whole river.
Sure I have. Don't believe me, darling. Believe Clarence. He knows everything. He's the only builder in New Jersey who builds houses with fishing privileges in the cellar.
Berwyn!
Goodbye.
Lavalier Hotel Cocktail Lounge. Yeah, this is Harry, the bartender. Oh, wait a minute. Frankie, Charlie, Gus wants to know if you're going to place any more bets today.
We're still doping.
Gus, they're still doping. Yeah, they'll call you later. Hey, look, you guys, I don't mind you using the bar for an office, but make believe you're drinking in case the boss comes in.
All right, set up a small beer.
Oh, afraid of drowning, huh? How about you, Frankie?
I'll have an extra straw. We're waiting for Patsy's getting his belt buckle hot. We'll have money in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and Mabel is hocking her dresses and her bracelet.
Boy, it's a good investment to give Mabel a present. She's always so nice about hocking it for you.
Yeah, well, let's get down to some figuring here. I think the third race ought to be Rose Cross.
Yeah, Rose Cross.
Hey,
looks pretty good.
Move down to the end of the bar. Here comes a customer.
Okay, okay.
Hey, what's he talk or something? Hey, I think he's crying.
Let him cry. We got the third race to dope out.
Yes, sir. What'll you have?
I've been so sad all day. What's good for forgetting?
Forgetting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of it will help you remember anything. How about a scotch for you?
Fine. You know, I should be at the office now. But I'm not there.
No, that's right. You ain't.
Her brother thinks he's so smart. He can't even build a house without water in the basement.
Well, that's the way it goes. Some can, some can't.
Now I can't take my fishing trip.
Maybe we should pass up the third race. What looks good in the fourth?
What are those fellows doing at the end of the bar?
They're trying to decide on a horse to play. They live in a hotel.
You think they'd mind if I gave them a horse?
They'd never remember to feed it.
I mean a tip on the third race.
Oh, well, I think it might be better if they made the choice themselves, because if they lost, they wouldn't feel so good.
You mean they wouldn't like me?
You got the idea.
Do what you like, Charlie. I'm going to wait for Patsy. Maybe he'll have something.
Well, I'm playing Rose Cross.
Oh, no.
What's that?
Don't play Rose Cross. Semester's going to win the third race.
Semester, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Look, bud, Semester ain't won a race since they invented horseshoes. I'm going to use the phone, Harry.
But Semester's going to win.
Hey, don't bother him. He's phoning the bet.
But I have it right here. Third race Semester, see? In my little black book.
Look, bud. I know you got it from the horse's mouth, but you shouldn't ought to believe what a horse tells you.
Hello, Gus. Charlie, a dollar to win and one to show on Rose Cross.
Oh, Semester. Semester.
Yeah, shut up. You're holding up production.
Yeah, well, squeeze me in, will you, Gus? Okay, Rose Cross. The race is starting. We nearly didn't make it.
Hi, boys.
Hey, Patsy, we've been waiting for you. Harry, get out the rope for Patsy's pants.
I've been all over town trying to raise 50. As soon as they see me holding up my pants, nobody knows me. Mabel is now trying to raise something, too.
Charlie, just put $2 on Rose Cross.
Where'd you get the $2, Charlie?
I promised to run the elevator tonight.
I was telling them to play Semester, but they didn't.
Who's this?
Just some drunk.
Semester in the third, Haste Bells in the fourth. Oh, my. I don't feel so good.
Right over there, bud. Keep going. Wait, turn to the left.
That's Gus. I'll get it. Hello? Yeah, Gus. What's that? Say that again.
Here's the rope for your pants, Patsy. I had a little time, so I braided it for you.
Okay, Gus. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, what do you know?
What do I know?
Semester. Semester won?
Yeah.
Well, so what about it?
Well, didn't you hear him?
Who?
That square, that drunk. He's been trying to give us Semester for the last 10 minutes.
He kept opening this little book.
Give me that book, Harry.
Hey, let me see it. Let me see it.
Don't crowd, you bother me. Gee. Hey, got them all figured out. Look, he's got Brass Monkey for the place. Brass Monkey come in. Got Fairweather and Semester. They come in, too. He picked every race.
Oh, he maybe wrote them down after the races was run.
Nuts. I heard him say Semester before the race even started.
Who is he, Harry?
Maybe he's a handicapper.
Oh, you know a guy with them out-of-town clothes ain't no handicapper?
He said something about working in an office and some water in the cellar.
Look at this. Hasty Bell in the fourth. He's got selections for all 7 races today.
Hey, what'd you get in your belt buckle, Patsy? Maybe we lay $2 on Hasty Bell.
$2, nothing. We're laying a roll. Here's $18, Charlie. Take it around Augustus. The weights on Hasty Bell. I'm going into the men's room and keep him there till the race is over.
But how do we know it ain't a racket?
If it is, I never heard of it.
Then it ain't a racket. Hey, He looks awful dumb. He looks like a hick, Patsy.
A hick, huh? Frankie, go to the public library and look up a picture of Daniel Boone. Now, that's the biggest hick in the world to look at. But that man discovered fur.
Hey, come on, Harry. A small beer. I got 4 cents.
They don't come that small. On your income, why don't you take up jelly beans?
Yeah, but as soon as Hasty Bell wins, we'll all have plenty of money. Charlie just laid 18 bucks on the nose.
Hello, boy.
Hiya, Mabel.
Hiya, Mabel.
Patsy told me to meet him here. We have some business to talk over.
Oh, that's all right, Mabel. We know where you've been.
Kind of embarrassing to me always to be hawking things. But it's all over now. Well, I got left is the dress I'm wearing. My mother, poor thing, she was right. She said, put your money in gold inlays and keep your mouth shut. Where's Patsy?
He's in there.
Where?
There.
Oh.
And he's talking business with a friend.
In there?
Well, the guy don't feel so good. He just dropped in to tip Patsy off on some fixed races so Patsy could get straightened out.
You mean he fixes the races? Well, Patsy, I'm back.
Boy, is that guy sick. How'd you make out, Mabel?
Well, I went to this place on 8th Avenue, like you told me, and
yeah.
I unwrapped the dresses,
yeah.
Which was very good, as you recall. And he says they wasn't, and I says they was. And he says that ain't the question. He says that they might be worth $40, but that they was only worth $8 to him. And I says that wasn't the right attitude to take. And he says, never mind the attitude. Will you take the $8?
Did you take it? Good.
So then I asked somebody on the street where I could sell a parasol with a gold head, and they said I'd have to have an analysis. And I said I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's a good girl. Charlie, here's $8. Go on to Gus's and lay it on more and on in the fifth race.
But we don't know the results of the fourth yet or anything. How do we
know? I know a lot, and I've been talking to him.
Hey, I'll place the bet on the phone.
I'm going up to my room, Pat. My feet hurt. See, it's slow about this friend of yours fixing the races so we can get a roll again.
Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, swell. See you later, sweetheart.
Be sure you win, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, because if I have to hock what I got on, it won't be so nice. No, I mean in case I have to go anywhere.
Hello, Gus. Well, this is Frankie. Stock $8 on the nose, more than on the fifth. Hey, Patsy.
Yeah?
It's post time for the fourth. Gus will give me a blow-by-blow of the race if I hold on.
Hold on. Here's the nickels. What's the final odds?
Hasty Brothers, 4-1.
4-1. Terrific. Terrific. Hello, Irwin. How do you feel now, Irwin? Hey, fellas, his name is Irwin.
I knew it would be something like that.
I think I feel a little bit better now.
Yeah, you're a much healthier shade of green now.
Now sit right down in this chair and rest yourself, Irwin. Harry, draw Irwin a nice glass of beer. In a clean glass.
Well, at last, somebody's going to drink something.
I hope Irwin doesn't have to leave.
Irwin is not leaving. He's staying till he gets straightened out. And you want to know something, fellas? Irwin picks horses for a hobby.
A hobby? You mean he ain't even a pro?
He's better than a pro. He always picks winners.
Yeah, how do we know he ain't a nut? You know how a guy can get about horses.
I am not a nut. I was valedictorian at some Mill Gumpers High School.
Yeah, I'm here, Gus. Hey, shut up, you guys. The race is on.
Shut up, everybody.
Yeah, go ahead, Gus. Give it to me. Yeah? They're at the quarter?
What is this? Horse race. Oh. Drink your beer. Nicely.
Yeah, Gus, go ahead. Joy Boy's leading. Then Little Eye. Horse grip. Where's Hasty Bell? Oh, gee, Hasty Bell's last.
A hobby. A
Joy
hobby.
Joy Boy's love at the half. Who? Little Eye taking the lead. Now post grip. Neck and neck. Yeah? Still that way?
And Mabel's got no more dresses.
Oh, shut up, shut up. Go ahead, Frankie. Where's Hasty Bell?
There is a stretch. He's passed. He's passed.
Who's passed?
Who's passed, Gus? Joy Boy? Hasty Bell passing Joy Boy? What? Hey, talk louder, Gus. Okay. She won.
Who won?
Hasty Bell.
What? No, let me in on the next race, Patsy.
And you told me it was a hobby, Patsy. What are you always kidding me?
Well, I'm glad to have met you, fellas.
Where are you going?
Oh, I have to be at the office.
You mean you work?
how could I make a living without working?
Well, what do you do with your money from the horses?
I told you, I never bet. It's just a hobby, like crossword puzzles. Well, so long.
No, wait. Huh? You'll lose your job, Irwin. You can't go to no office looking like that.
But I've got to. I'll be late for Mother's Day.
You'd be late for what? What are you screaming for, Charlie? If a man says he's going to be late for Mother's Day, he's going to... Hmm? What do you mean, Oi, when you'll be late for Mother's Day?
Harry, another beer for you.
Come on.
I have to get my verses written.
Oh, you're a songwriter.
No, a greeting card verses for Mother's Day. So I'll run along now, and I'm very happy to have met
you. Hey, I'll get it.
Just 1 minute, Owen.
Yes.
Frankie speaking. Yeah, Gus. Yeah? How much? Okay, thanks. Paul and I took the fifth race. We make $735.
Hey, oh, that right, much, Dad.
Well, this guy is a walking genius.
Genius, he's better than a genius. He's brilliant. He's two in a row, it ain't human.
Well, so long, fella.
Oh, wait a minute, Owen. Why don't you sit down and relax?
Yeah, but I
people who work in offices have gone home already.
But Mr. Carver will be there waiting for me.
Don't be late. When I went to school, it was always better to be absent than late.
And not at Samuel Gompers. At Samuel Gompers, they...
Boywin, look. Hmm? We're horse betters. Everything we make, we'll give you 10%. Just pick them for us. What do you say?
But my job...
Well,
I've
call
got a
up
job
your boss and tell him that you won't be in today. Believe me, Irwin, you look like he was run over with ice skates. Now, what's the number, Irwin?
B-O-4-7-6-5-2.
Okay.
But what'll you tell him? He doesn't know you.
Now, Irwin, what's the boss's name again?
Mr. J.G. Carver. But look now...
Oh! Mr. Carver, please.
I don't think I want to go through with this. Huh?
Hello, Mr. Carver. What's your last name, Owen?
Trowbridge.
Are you serious?
No. That's my name. But look, I can easily go to work now.
Mr. Carver, Owen Trowbridge won't be in today. He got sick on the way to the office. Yeah, terrible. We've been working over him for a long time. He's in the drugstore now. Who, me? I'm the soda joint. Joyce! The pharmacist! What's the matter? Ain't you never been in a pharmacy? Sure, like with Malton. Wait a minute, hold the wire. Irwin, he says as long as you have your waking by tomorrow, that's Jake with him.
Oh, I'll have it, definitely.
Mr. Carver, he says he'll have it in, definitely.
Oh, no.
My address? Oh, it's no use giving you my address. I'm moving the store tonight. To Boston. Yeah.
In a moment, we'll continue with the second act of Three Men on a Horse, starring Stuart Irwin, Sam Levine and Shirley Booth, produced by the Theatre Guild on the air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Good evening. Tonight I'd like to tell you about a man named Bill Bansey. Back in 1937, Bill was working in a CCC camp. He wrote a letter telling of his interest in foundry work of any kind. He sent it to the employment office of U.S. Steel's Carnegie, Illinois, South Chicago plant. A few weeks later, he was notified of an opening as a molder's apprentice and took the job. Bill worked hard during the day and studied just as hard at night. He went to night school in Chicago and also took in a course of lectures by the American Foundrymen's Association, which supplemented the evening classes conducted for employees by U.S. Steel. What happened? Well, Bill finished his apprenticeship in 1940 and became a Class B molder, and then was promoted to Class A molder in January 1943. By December 1943, he was assistant to the superintendent of the foundry and pattern shop in charge of technological coordination. Then in July 1945, he was promoted to his present job, the even more responsible and important post of molder foreman. Yes, Bill Bansey is one of the thousands of steel workers who have gone ahead through U.S. Steel's outstandingly successful employee training and upgrading program, a program which provides job opportunities limited only by the capabilities of the individual and benefits not only the individual, but the industry and the community as well.
We pause now for station identification. The curtain rises on the second act of Three Men on a Horse, one of America's most hilarious farces, starring Stuart Irwin as Irwin, Sam Levine as Patsy, and Shirley Booth as Mabel.
Mr.
could imagine, after 2 hours with Irwin Vick and the horses for us, we got a strong smell of Palm Beach and 20 years of breakfast in bed. Me, I take a short walk to the hock shop for my belt buckle. Mabel comes trotting back from her favorite broker with her 5 dresses and says to me,
Deepak, it feels just like old times. Ain't it nice of Irwin to fix the races for us?
But I ain't got the patience to explain to her. Besides, it wouldn't make no sense to Mabel anyway. She used to dance in the Follies and got hit on the head with a champagne bottle. But despite all the dough Irwin is making for us, he don't feel so good. So he sleeps all night in my room to sober up, which is all right. We had him locked in anyway. Meantime, over across the river in Ozone Heights, excitement is really going on.
Oh, Irwin, my Irwin, where are you? Where are you?
Will you stop that wailing, Audrey? That worm isn't worth it. Oh. I told you not to marry him, didn't I? Remember what I said to you? I said, don't marry him. One look at him and I knew he'd never make Kiwanis.
What's happened to him? He never stayed away all night in his life.
A married man playing horses. It's disgraceful. I help him along. Let him have a house on easy payment plan. Does he come to me with a good thing? Oh, no.
Maybe that's him. Hello? Oh, Mr. Carver. I've been trying to call you all morning. Hasn't he come to work again? Oh, my, where? A drugstore? You mean he's sick? What? Oh, all right, I'll call you if I hear anything. Hello, operator. Give me the police. Hurry.
What happened?
Irwin collapsed in the drugstore. And his 65 Mother's Day verses are due in today. And Mr. Carver says they're moving the store to Boston.
Shh. He's still sleeping.
I guess he drank too much last night. Look, his braces are all over the floor.
Wake him up, Frankie. Wake him up. He's got to dope out today's braces.
Irwin. Yeah. Irwin, wake up. Mm. Wake up.
Mm?
He was writing them braces till 3 this morning.
Oh. Oh, my head. What time is it?
12 o'clock noon.
Noon? Well, why didn't you wake me?
Mr. Carver's got to have my braces today or he'll fire me. Where are my clothes?
Now, you ain't going anywhere, Irwin.
Huh?
Frankie, pick up the braces and take them over to Irwin's office.
That'll be fine. Meanwhile, I can get dressed. Tell Mr. Carver I'll be there in an hour. And, gee, I've got to call my wife.
He's so devoted. It's like he wasn't married or something.
Now, sit down to bed, Irwin. I want to remind you that you got an agreement with us. Now, you were going to pick the horses for us today.
But I've got a job.
Now, look, in my breast pocket, I got $112 for you.
For me? You mean just from taking the horses?
That's right, Irwin. 10% of what we made yesterday. Today, you stand to double it if you'll just stick with it.
Sure, we'll make you rich, Irwin. And by perversus, I hope.
Well, gee, I never realized I could actually make that much betting the horses.
That's the beauty part of it, Irwin.
So get dressed and start doping out the races. Now, go into the other room.
Boy, with that much money, I could tell Clarence to go to...
All right, now, come on, everybody. Pick up the horses.
Yes.
Go ahead, let's go. Hey, Charlie, there's one under the bed. Come on, hey, get a load of this. Why was it that I chose to roam, cross land and sea so far from home? If that be life, my mother dear, I send this card of love and cheer. Mother's Day, number 37. That kicks you, you know that?
Yeah.
That goes right through the heart.
If a guy said something like that to me, I...
Yeah, I know. Fellas, I feel we ought to do something big for Irwin. That Carver, his boss, that big piece of salami, paying him a fast 40 a week for genius stuff like this, for regular Shakespeare merchandise. It's a shame.
It's a rookin'.
The world should see stuff like this. You ought to put him in bar rooms, pool rooms, railroad stations. Wait, I got it.
What?
Leibowitz. Jake Leibowitz is the printer next door who does all them classy postal cards for the 5 and 10. Get him on the phone, Mabel.
Okay, sir.
Frankie, take these braces right down to Leibowitz, right away. I'll explain to him on the phone.
Okay, I'll shoot right over.
He's on the phone, Pat.
Okay, give me that. Hello. Hello, Jake. Jake, this is Patsy. Well, you ain't that busy. Listen, I want a special job done on voices. Voices. No, not noises. Voices. You know, poetry voices. Yeah, like roses are red. Yeah, about 1,000. And Jake, I want them on shiny paper. With lace, maybe. Yeah, I want them nice so you can hang them up in the pool rooms and in the bars. Yeah, Frankie, you'll have him there in 2 minutes. Now, don't leave before you get him.
You're liable to make Irwin famous, Patsy. I love an illiterary atmosphere.
Well, Did Frankie take my verses to Mr. Carver?
Yes. Now, you don't have nothing to worry about, Mr. You have nothing to worry about. I just sent the voices to Jake Leibowitz.
Who is Leibowitz?
He's a big printer. He's going to print your voices and send them all over the country. Barrooms, pools.
Leibowitz will put Mother's Day on the map, I will.
Oh, what right have you to do a thing like that?
Well, everyone, look what we're going
to do. I'm going to lose my job now. If you think this is funny,
but you'll make big dough out of them now. Then you can tell Mr. Carver to take the 40.
But I can't lose my job. Mr. Carver's the only boss I ever had, and I like to work for him. You get my verses back, Patsy, or I'll...
Boy, I nearly left Leibowitz, but he's got the verses.
Frankie, go over and get them back.
Hey, now look. I can't get them back now. They're gone.
Gone? What's happened to my verses? Oh, nothing. Leibowitz was getting into a cab when I got there. His daughter's having a baby in a hospital, so I congratulated him, and he took the verses with him in a cab.
And Mr. Carver is waiting for my verses.
Oh, I'll get them back tonight, maybe. Why don't you dope the horses, Irwin, and get your mind off it?
Horses? How can I think of horses with my 65 Mother's Day verses riding around in taxi cabs? You've ruined me. That's
right.
What you've done.
All right. Frankie, get into a cab and try all the West Side hospitals. Charlie, you take the East Side.
There's a million Leibowitz.
Fine, Jake, and give me no argument. Now it's all going to turn out okay. Now, Irwin, here's the racing form. Now, just start to figure what you got his eyes closed for.
He fainted about a minute ago.
Fainted?
Sure, he's a genius. Most geniuses faint a lot.
But the race is starting an hour. Look, I'm going to go down and try to find Leibowitz. Call the bar and get him a bottle of rye. And
okay.
If he won't drink it, spill some on his face.
Sure.
But don't let him out of here until I get back. And if he wakes up, keep it illiterary.
How do you feel now, Irwin? Should I turn the radio off, maybe? I just wanted it to soothe your head.
I'm going to call my wife and get out of here.
No, wait, Irwin. Irwin, let me show you the dance I used to do with the Follies.
Were you in the Follies?
Oh, sure.
You were?
Yeah, I did a specialty.
Huh?
Of course, I'm a little bigger now, you know. But I used to come out with a sort of a sheet on. I'll show you with a bedspread. See, and I'd have it draped on like this, see? And then I sort of sing. You want to hear it?
Oh, I'd love to.
I'm going somewhere. I am. Come and meet your old Macian. You'll understand. Come to my poison garden. Ask the gods for pardon. As before the temple door we stand. Waiting for you when you come from Siam. You're a Macian. And then I go into my bed.
Uh-huh.
Of course, this is just. and then the sheet falls off to my finish.
Uh-huh.
How do you like my... Gee, my dress.
Huh?
Oh, I got dizzy all of a sudden, Irwin.
What, Mabel?
Pass me. I think I'm going to...
Now, just relax, Mabel, and lie down now, right over here.
Irwin, I got your voices back.
Huh?
Hey, what do you call this?
Oh, Patsy.
Get out of that bedspread, Mabel, and get back to your room.
I just got dizzy.
I'll get you dizzy, you little monkey.
But
go on.
Patsy,
get out!
You shouldn't treat her that way. She only wanted to show...
This is gratitude for everything I've done for you. I no sooner turn my back and you're feeding drinks to my girl. I ought to mobilize you.
But she only...
I know what she only... What do you take me for, a sucker?
Well, give me my verses anyway.
I'll give you your voices.
Here's
your... No, don't tear them up.
Voices.
Please, stop.
Nobody's going to make a sucker out of Patsy.
So where is he now?
In the other room, crying his eyes out about the voices. Oh, what a dope I am.
You should have more faith in me, Pat. I'm getting too heavy to start two-timing you.
I couldn't help it. I lost my temper. Oh, what a dope.
Well, you better bring him around, Patsy, is all I can say, or we'll all be making the trip to the hot shop before the week is up.
Mabel, Frankie,
Yes.
Come with me. We'll try to apologize.
No, my verses.
Oywin, my friend. My dear, beautiful, wonderful friend, Oywin. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I lost my temper. Listen, Oywin.
The way you treated her, you ought to be ashamed.
Oh, he is ashamed, Oywin, but I forgive him. He's just sprung very high.
Yeah. Now, we picked up all the pieces, Oywin. Now, if you want, we'll copy out the voices on new paper.
Hmm?
I apologize, Oywin. I'm just that I'm so crazy for Mabel that when I seen her wrestling around with you,
well,
I...
Well, all right, Patsy. As long as you'll have them recopied,
what... Sure, sure, because we got the highest respect for your genius. Mm-hmm. And now I would like to give you your 10%. Here, Oliwin, $112.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you saw your way clear to dope out some horses right now, why, we would be willing to bet our all on anything you say. And you might have $1,000 tonight.
$1,000?
I don't like to say this, Oywin, but we did nurse you back to health.
Yeah, like you was a baby almost.
Oh, gee, fellas, I'm sorry. Where's the racing form?
You're sitting on it.
Oh.
Okay, now, fellas, get the elevator boy and the chambermaid and everybody get to work copying Oywin's voices. Frankie, Mabel, come
yeah?
on, let's get the pieces together.
Okay.
Here's a sharp pencil, Oywin.
All right, I'll try.
Now, everybody, start copying the voices and be quiet. Oywin's brain can work on the racing form. Now try to hurry, Oywin. We only got about a half an hour before the first race.
He's such a sweet little fellow. Look at him. What a talent. I bet you I could be a writer, except... Whenever I think, I get hungry before anything comes out.
Don't talk so much. You're busting up his thoughts. Keep copying the voices.
Hey, these pieces are all mixed up. I got this one straight and except one word down here in the corner.
I got an extra word on mine. What do you need?
Something to rhyme with, let me see. We trudged our way on Sunday. Something to rhyme with Sunday. The piece is missing.
Nah, the word I got left over is blue boys.
How about undies? That rhymes with Sunday.
Oh, no, no. Oywin wouldn't want to use that.
Hey, Oywin's got something. He just wrote something on a piece of paper and stuck it under his pillow.
Got a selection, Oywin?
It's no good. Don't bother reading it, Charlie. It's no good. Put it back under the pillow.
Equipoise.
That's the one I was going to pick.
But it doesn't count, I tell you.
Why don't it? You wrote it down, didn't you?
Yes, but just to get the feel. It's no use. I can't figure them out just sitting here. I've always done them on the bus.
Sure, no wonder he can't figure him sitting there on that lousy bed. Now, come on over here by the window. Here, sit down in this chair. There.
See the fresh air coming in?
See, that's more like a bus. Just like a bus, ain't it, Oywin?
Well,
Now try. Concentrate. You're on a bus, see? The buildings are passing by.
Fares, please. Have your fares ready.
Next stop, the Hoboken Ferry.
Does this bus stop at Great Falls, Goodman? Not that I'm getting off there, of course.
Concentrate, Oywin, concentrate. Here, we'll rock the chair for you. Whee! We're going around the corner, see?
Oh, it's no use, Patsy. I can't do it. The only way is for me to get on the bus to Ozone Heights.
How about a taxi?
If Oywin says it's a bus, it's a bus. Frankie, you and Mabel take Oywin home on the bus. Oywin, drop in and see your wife. But call your selections back here as soon as you get into the house.
That'll be fine. Let's go. Oh, my poor Audrey.
Oywin, no looking out of windows. Just horses.
Come on, Oywin.
It's freedom night, Frankie. Buy him a soda with ice cream. Well, Frankie and Mabel took Oywin home on the bus. And sure enough, passing the Flatiron Building, he gets an inspiration, and the minute he gets home, he calls me.
Hello, Patsy. I got some selections on the bus. For the first race, Sunador. Second, Frolic. Third, Mondo. The fourth, Mr. Cayenne. I'll figure the other races on the way back to the hotel. Goodbye.
Then he turns to Audrey and throws her a big hug. Oh, he loved that Audrey. But he lives up to his promise and gets back on the bus to New York. But at the same time in the hotel, we are still copying his torn voices. When suddenly, the door opens.
Who's in charge here?
Who are you?
I'm Irvin Trowbridge's boss, J.G. Carver. And I know my rights. I've just come from Irvin's house. And his wife says she's living here with you. You have been stealing his verses.
Stealing what?
I ain't afraid of you fellows or any other greeting card company in the United States.
Charlie, throw the gentleman into the street, will you? Let's go, Bo.
Take your hands off me. I've been in business since 1898. You can't do this to J.G. Carver.
Hello? Yeah, Gus. Oh, swell. I'll call you back. Charlie, Mono took the toy. That means we got three winners for today.
What do you want to do now?
I want to take everything and put it on Mr. Kayem in the fort.
There's only one thing bothers me, Patsy.
Yeah?
Remember when Irwin was picking the races on the bed before?
So?
He wrote down equipoise for the fort, and he hides it under the pillow. Huh? Now he gives us Mr. Kayem. Why did he change it?
Well, he was just warming himself up with equipoise. Like a pitcher winds himself up.
Yeah, but equipoise is a great horse. I don't like it, Patsy. I think he's trying to pull something.
But why? Why would Irwin do anything?
Hello, Patsy.
Hello.
Oh, gee. You ought to see Irwin's house.
Where is he?
He's coming up with Frankie. See what a house, Patsy. A regular porch to sit on and grass and a second floor with beds on it. And Patsy, Irwin says he wants to sell it.
Okay, fired. We're trying to decide on the fort race.
Patsy, don't you think we ought to get married if we're going to live in a house?
I can get married any day, but I got a four-horse trolley under fire, and they don't come up often. Now, Charlie,
Patsy, I think we ought to buy this house before everything blows us back into the hock shop again.
Why? What do you mean? Why should anything happen?
I don't know, but I've been so nervous all day, I shook a rhinestone out of my bracelet.
Hello, fellas.
Hello.
Are my verses copied?
Yeah, here you are. We went all in A1 condition, and we won the first three races.
Well, isn't that fine?
Now, about this Mr. Kayem in the port, I went...
Say, this is terrible. These verses, these aren't my words at all.
Why not?
Well, listen. I wonder if the old church stands where we trudged our way on Sundays. I recall how we sat with folded hands, so now I don't ever get drunk no more on Tuesdays or Mondays.
That's no good, huh?
No,
of course not. It should be, now I don't get drunk anymore.
We lost the last line, so I put that one in.
Mr. Carver would drop dead if he saw this.
What you cheapskates ought to do is to hire some first-class poet so Irwin wouldn't have to worry so much.
When Mr. Kayem comes in, we'll hire Longfellow.
You can't hire Longfellow. He's away up in Boston. Someplace.
And anyway, how do you know that Mr. Kayem ain't going to come in last?
Yeah, that would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, Charlie.
Hey, wait a minute, Irwin. We can't lose, can we?
I recall how we sat with folded hands. I can't remember that last line.
Forget the poetry for a minute, will you? We can't lose, can we, Irwin?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Mr. Kayem was your selection, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, that's the horse.
Then why did you write equipoise and stick it under the pillow before?
Just to see how it looked on paper. I wasn't sure.
Oh, so you wasn't sure.
I'm surprised at you fellows. You took care of me yesterday when I'm sick, but now you're getting greedy.
I noticed you took your 10%, all right?
Well, of course.
Of course. Irwin, you wouldn't by any chance be thinking about crossing us up, would you?
How could you think such a thing of me?
Well. Okay, boys. Frankie, here's $11,000. Sock it all to Mr. Kayem.
$11,000? Don't let me touch it. Just stick it in my pocket.
Oh, go on. Take it down to Gus's. Hurry up. No, wait a minute. How much are you going to bet, Irwin?
Oh, I wouldn't bet.
What do you mean? Which way wouldn't you bet?
Oh, I wouldn't bet on anything. That would spoil it.
Sure. Irwin explained that to me.
Shut up, Mabel. Irwin, I thought maybe you ought to bet on this particular nag. If he's good enough for us to put our shirts on him, he's good enough for you, too. So just give your bet to Frankie, and he'll take it over to Gus's with ours.
That's right, Irwin. Give Frankie some dough.
Well, it'll spoil all my fun, but here's $2, Frankie.
$2?
What are you doing, kidding?
No, I'm serious. I think he'll win.
We're laying down $11,000, and you want to play a deuce. You can't think much of the horse.
All right, then make it $10.
Frankie didn't hear you.
Then 50.
Frankie still didn't hear you.
Well, what do you want?
Every nickel you got, all your 10%. Hand it over.
Well, all right, but...
Here you are, look, Frankie. Put that on Mr. Kayem for Irwin. Right on the nose.
Wait, Frankie. Fellas, I never bet in my life. And I know that once I do, I'll never be able to pick winners on the bus again.
After this race, we'll be able to buy a horse.
But what'll I do going home on the bus every day?
You'll do crossword puzzles. Huh? And Irwin, if Mr. Kayem don't come in today, you'll have a new word for dead pigeon. And, brother, it'll start with an E, like an Irwin.
In a moment, we will continue with the third act of Three Men on a Horse, starring Stuart Irwin, Sam Levine, and Shirley Booth, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again is George Hicks.
Not long ago, a fire broke out in a factory. It wasn't a bad fire, but considerable damage was done. Before the factory could continue with its reconversion, it had to have two steel beams to support a weakened roof. So the factory called on the local steel distributors. One warehouse was able to furnish the beams the factory needed, and repairs were begun in a few hours. That warehouse is one of the thousands of businesses all over the country which distributes the products of the steel industry. There are more than 25,000 of these establishments, ranging from hardware stores in small towns to huge warehouses in manufacturing cities. They supply thousands of customers with the steel products they need. One of the important parts of this industry is the United States Steel Supply Company, one of the members of the United States Steel family. The supply company operates 9 warehouses in major cities of the country. It keeps on hand diversified stocks of products manufactured by U.S. Steel, as well as tools and machinery. During the war, these warehouses furnished steel for conversion, maintenance, and repair. Now, U.S. Steel Supply Company is helping to speed reconversion. Quick and efficient service to users of steel is the job of this member of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
The curtain rises on the third act of Three Men on a Horse, starring Stuart Irwin as Irwin, Sam Levine as Patsy, and Shirley Booth as Mabel.
We're sitting around the radio waiting for the race to begin. To say the least, with $11,000 on Mr. Cayenne, my heart is beating. And I don't like the look on Irwin's face, neither. It's blank. Who knows what he's thinking? Maybe he purposely let us win, so now we'd sink everything on Cayenne. The minutes go by. Frankie is so nervous, he keeps combing his hair while he's still got it. Charlie's already sneaking hotel envelopes into his pocket. Chewing gum money. And Mabel is sitting with her eyes closed, in case she faints. I can almost hear the chicken a la king coming to life in the closet. If we lose this race, we're clean.
Are you sure this is the station that broadcasts the race?
Yeah. It'll be on in a minute.
Oh.
I like this station. They have the most commercials about food and all. Whenever we come back from the hot shop, we like to turn it on. You know, in 10 minutes, you can listen to a complete meal on that station.
Now, talking about hot shops. Irwin. Irwin, you wouldn't cross us up, would you? I'm getting panicky, Irwin.
You shouldn't have sent Frankie down with the cash.
There he is.
Clarence, what are you doing here?
You low-down cheat. You couldn't come out and fight me like a man, you...
Who is this, Irwin?
My brother-in-law, Clarence, meet me.
He pretends he knows all about horse races. He comes home before and leaves a list of selections on the floor. I bet my shirt today, and he cleaned me out for that list.
What list, Clarence?
The list you left on the floor in your house. Oh. You knew I'd pick it up sooner or later. You're such a sneak, you think everybody else is.
Oh, I know what he means.
Yeah, Irwin? Well, what does he mean? Explain, Irwin.
Well, on the way home before, Frankie thought that being on the bus would help him make the right selections like it helps me. But he got them all wrong, and I guess he left the list at home.
That's a lie. Charlie, throw the gentleman into the street.
Let's go,
Bo. Let's go. Oh, and you little double-crossing Mother's Day crook, I'm clean now.
So, you double-cross your own brother-in-law, huh, Irwin?
I told you we shouldn't have put everything on Mr. Cayenne.
Irwin wouldn't cheat anybody. No kidding, Patsy. He's too ignorant.
Oh, I took away from Cayenne. Gus had a share with another bookie. He couldn't handle 11 G's.
Sorry we couldn't tune you in early, ladies and gentlemen.
The race. Shut up, everybody.
We'll pick up the fourth race, which is now going on. And a great race it is, folks. They're coming to the quarter now. War Glory, Good Advice, Ladies' Man, and Mr. Kayam in that order.
I told you, Kayam's a stinker.
At the quarter now, Ladies' Man moving up. Yes, Asperino, Good Advice is holding that lead. Jockey Meade is using his head. And there they are at the half. Good Advice, War Glory, Mr. Kayam.
He's back in third place.
Mr. Kayam is driving now, rushing right in there. There's a tumble, a spill.
Oh, that's Kayam.
Case me stumble throwing his jockey, but all right, yes, he's getting up. A great jockey's up as they come. There they are at the three-quarter pole now, Mr. Kayam leading.
He's leading, Pat.
Ladies' Man coming up, War Glory right behind. There they come fast into the stretch. Looks like a little shoving in there. No, no, it's all right, I guess. At the stretch now, coming down with a rush at the home stretch is Equipoise. Equipoise, who's been way behind, is now surging up to Mr. Kayam. Neck and neck, fighting it out. Two great horses. What a race, ladies and gentlemen. He's passing. No, not quite. Wait a minute. Yes, that is the finish, and Equipoise wins.
Equipoise.
He trailed all the way, but he wins in a terrific burst of speed. Mr. Kayam second, and Sun Out to third in the money. Those who backed Equipoise had something to be thankful for today. It's a fine horse, and...
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just too bad, Irwin.
I'm sick, you know. I'm just sick to the stomach. Look at my hand shaking.
What do you got to say, Irwin? Not that it matters, naturally.
Well, I guess the handicappers were right. They all thought Equipoise would win. Yes, I guess that's what makes it interesting and
sure.
Memorable, too.
Sure. We're going to give you something real memorial, Irwin.
Hmm?
Boy, what are you going to do?
Now, wait a minute, fellas.
This is one horse race you ain't never going to forget, Irwin.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Let me get a crack at it.
But gee, Mr. Kayam won most of the race. Please.
Frankie, turn on the radio loud in case somebody hears us out in the hall.
Don't hear him again, Pat.
He knew all the time that Equipoise was going to win.
I didn't know.
What's happening?
Stand by, everybody.
Deep right on that floor, Charlie.
Okay.
No bets are being paid pending an official announcement. It looks like a disqualification to me.
What?
Well, I was all wrong, folks. I was all wrong. Equipoise may not have won after all. The judges have been in a huddle down there at the stand, and boy, what excitement out here. Wait a minute, folks. What is it, Perry?
That must be Perry Mullins, the cop.
Shut up.
Here is the latest announcement just put into my hand. Equipoise has been disqualified. Mr. Kayam is declared the official winner. Son
after
second, and ladies, man.
Irwin. What are you doing on the floor?
You make me good and mad.
That's it, Irwin. Get up.
Now, I'm awful sorry.
You make me so mad, I could...
Hey, what are you hitting me for? We won, and we ain't seen him off of me.
Stop hitting Patsy. Cut it out, Irwin. Cut it out.
Oh, Irwin. Your wife is here.
My wife? Why, Audrey.
Oh, Irwin, I'm so lonesome. Can't you come home now?
Oh, right away, dear. I was just having a little discussion with my friends here.
Mr. Carver called me, and I rushed over in a taxi. He's outside, Irwin, and he's asked me to plead with you to give him a hearing. You owe so much to Mr. Carver.
Oh, sure. Mr. Carver? Well, come in, Mr. Carver.
Irwin. Have these men a contract with you?
No, they just...
Who gave you your start, Irwin?
You did.
Who taught you to ride? Remember in the beginning, Tremendous? How long you worked on Tremendous until I gave you tenderness? Who taught you everything you know about Mother's Day? And St. Patrick's Day? And St. Valentine's?
Irwin, what do we do for the fib that you make?
Don't interrupt, Mr.
Carver. But we got nothing for the
fib. Don't interrupt!
Oh,
I'll have your office repainted, Irwin. And I'll fix the window so it opens. And I'll put your name on the door, and I'll give you $60 a week.
I'll
make it $75.
Gosh, Mr. Carver. Listen, stick with us, Irwin. You'll make that much per hour.
We could buy him his own bus, even.
I'm afraid I can't, Patsy. I won't be able to dope them anymore.
But why? Why, Irwin? You don't want to go back to the salt mines, do you? That Mother's Day drudgery, that poetry mill?
You made me bet, Patsy. I could only do them when it was for fun.
Well, make believe you didn't bet. We'll even go so far as to not give you your winnings.
Yes. You could even charge him.
No, Patsy. It's like when you hear somebody else's problem. You know just how to solve it for them. But when it's your problem, you're never sure of the answer. Can't you see it, Patsy?
But look what you stand to make, Irwin.
No, Patsy. It was pretty much of an accident that I picked Mr. Kayam.
Accident?
I really had the feeling for Equipoise. But I began not to trust my feelings, so I took Mr. Cayam instead.
Oh.
You see, it was only a game before, but now so much would be at stake, I couldn't trust myself to do it again.
Well, all right, Irwin. But let me apologize for beating you up before. That I got so mad that you missed because, well, after all, money aside, it was a beautiful thing for me seeing a man getting inspirations like you did. And I got mad for your sake that the spell was broken. See? I mean, what I'm trying to... What's the matter? What are you holding your head for?
He's got that look on him again.
Quick, a pencil.
Here, Irwin. What, Irwin, a horse? Remember, it's the 5th of Jamaica. Just say it, Irwin. Just say it, and I'll take it down. I promise not to let you make a nickel on it.
Well, let me see now. The race is over. We've won, my lad. Love and kisses to dear old Dad.
But, Irwin, the 5th.
Father's Day, number one.
Curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild production of Three Men on a Horse, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Starring Stuart Irwin as Irwin, Sam Levine as Patsy, and Shirley Booth as Mabel. And here again is Lawrence Langner to tell you about next week's Theater Guild play to be presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Mr. Langner?
Ladies and gentlemen, before I tell you about next week's play, you'll be interested to know that Cecil Holm, one of the authors of Three Men on a Horse, reminded me recently that he got the idea of writing this play while he was acting in the Theatre Guild production of Mary of Scotland. So you can see the effect of acting in a poetic drama on an innocent young author. And incidentally, Cecil used to raise fancy Angora rabbits for a living before he wrote this play. He lived right near us in Weston, Connecticut. And after the play was a huge success, he gave the fancy rabbits to my son, who left the cage door open and they all escaped. They intermarried with the common or garden Connecticut rabbit, and now we have the funniest-looking rabbits around our home you ever saw. I'm sure one of them must have inspired that famous 6-foot rabbit in Harvey. Next week, we're going to bring you The Silver Cord by Sidney Howard, one of the most vital and absorbing plays ever produced by the Theatre Guild. It's a play about a doting mother and the havoc she raises in the lives of her 2 grown sons because of her excessive devotion to them. Ralph Bellamy and Ruth Hussey are playing the son and daughter-in-law, who rebel against too much mother love. You've seen Miss Hussey and Mr. Bellamy on the screen. Just now, they're the stars in New York's latest dramatic hit, State of the Union. In this play, as in The Silver Cord, Mr. Bellamy and Miss Hussey are husband and wife. In State of the Union, however, they're luckier. They have no mother to guide them. And now, here is Mr. Brokenshire again.
The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next week at the same time when we'll present Sidney Howard's play, The Silver Cord. If you'd like program notes and cast list of tonight's Theatre Guild on the Air, prepared for each broadcast with information about the play and the players, simply address U.S. Steel in care of your local station. The staff for the Theatre Guild on the Air includes Homer Fickett, director, George Condolf, producer, and Armina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music for tonight's play was composed and conducted by Harold Levy. The play was adapted for radio by Arthur Miller. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire.
This is
ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.